listening to the Agent Survival Guide podcast, a podcast for today's insurance agents. Informing, educating, empowering, improving the way you do business in an industry that's anything but static. In today's episode, we are talking Medicare compliance. That's right. This can't miss episode of the Agent Survival Guide podcast has been updated to reflect what's allowed and what's not in the most recent version of the CMS Medicare Communications and Marketing Guidelines. It's the do's and don'ts of Medicare compliance, written by me, Sarah J. Ruppel. We talk a lot about contracting and certifying in this industry, but there's another C that's even more important to agents like you: compliance. And it's not just something to consider during the busy season. Compliance should be a year-long goal for every agent. We'll teach you how to stay compliant through all of your client interactions, from the point of first contact all the way through the entire enrollment process. Let's start at the beginning with permission to contact, PTC for short. Every interaction with a potential client has a starting point. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, aka CMS, used to state that agents could not make unsolicited direct contact with potential beneficiaries. But due to a change reflected in the Medicare Communications and Marketing Guidelines for 2019, agents are now permitted to make unsolicited direct contact with potential enrollees via email. However, the email must have an opt-out option in order to remain compliant. Additionally, the content of any unsolicited email cannot intend to steer a recipient into choosing or retaining a plan. A compliant, unsolicited email would promote your services rather than any specific plan. Also important to note, agents are still not allowed to approach potential enrollees in common areas or make unsolicited phone calls. To begin the conversation with potential enrollees, you'll need permission to contact. You can use lead providers to send out business reply cards or flyers, including an optional form to collect this permission. Since the change noted in the 2020 MCMG memo, agents are allowed to use the same permission to contact across different election periods. For example, PTC obtained during lock-in can also be used during the annual enrollment period, or AEP. We've talked before about the importance of an online presence, but be forewarned, likes or shares on social media do not constitute PTC for sales purposes. Additionally, PTCs are not the same as a scope of appointment, or SOA. The PTC comes first, hopefully followed by an appointment. At that time, you'll need to fill out the appropriate scope of appointment form. Scope of appointment means just what it says. It's a form outlining exactly what you'll be presenting to a client during a meeting. The SOA ensures that potential enrollees will not be pitched plans other than those they originally requested. As you may already know, in 2018, CMS removed the requirement for SOAs to be recorded 48 hours in advance, which means that same-day scopes are compliant in any and all cases. Every face-to-face meeting requires a scope of appointment. Additionally, SOAs must be filled out for one-on-one phone conversations. Per CMS, agents must keep SOA forms on file for at least 10 years, even if the appointment did not end in a sale. What happens if your client requests Medicare information outside of the scope during your meeting? You must fill out a second scope covering the new information before continuing the meeting. And if they're interested in non-health-related products, you must schedule a future appointment to discuss them. That brings us to marketing rules. CMS regulates marketing and plan presentations, including when you're allowed to market and how you market. Agents must wait until October 1st to begin marketing the next year's plans to potential beneficiaries and cannot enroll members until October 15th. Just a quick reminder, AEP lasts from October 15th through December 7th. In the 2019 Medicare Communications and Marketing Guidelines, CMS began to differentiate between materials that are considered communications and those that are marketing pieces. The difference between the two is based on the content and the intent of the piece. Communication pieces tend to be more general, providing non-specific information to prospective and current enrollees. Marketing pieces, however, are aimed to influence beneficiaries in either enrolling into a plan or retaining their existing plan. Marketing materials contain some plan-specific information, such as benefits, premiums, and comparisons to other plans. Marketing materials are subject to CMS review, whereas communication materials are not. During presentations, you should never attempt to mislead your clients, willingly or unwillingly. Stay away from using absolutes and superlatives to describe plans and benefits. Your job is to present information, not show favoritism between carriers or plans. Similarly, if a potential enrollee expresses interest in just one plan, you must inform them that other plans are also available to them. CMS puts a large focus on agent transparency. Similar to their rules on absolutes and superlatives, agents should not use the word free to describe $0 premiums. CMS also states that the term free should not be used, quote, in conjunction with any reduction in premiums, deductibles, or cost share, including Part B premium buy-down, low-income subsidy, or dual eligibility, end quote. While one component of your client's healthcare may come at low or no cost, costs could be incurred in other areas. For example, $0 premium plans typically have higher copays, while plans with higher premiums offer lower out-of-pocket cost. By calling a plan free, you're generalizing just one part of the plan's full package. When mentioning star ratings, you must include that the rating is out of 5 stars. Agents must also let potential enrollees know when a plan has been assigned an LPI, or low performing icon, by CMS. You may not showcase the overall star rating and fail to disclose that the plan has previously suffered from performance issues. Star ratings may not be published until CMS releases them on the Medicare Plan Finder. Agents must also now clearly identify which contract year they reference. You may not, quote, reference the star rating that was achieved based on prior contract year data when the marketing materials are for the upcoming year, end quote. Now, let's talk a little bit about events and appointments and the CMS rules that apply to them. The types of presentations you host throughout the year typically fall under one of these three categories: educational events, sales events, and individual appointments. Educational events are meant to inform Medicare beneficiaries about the parts of Medicare in general. When holding an educational event, you can distribute educational materials free of plan-specific information, educational healthcare materials, and your business card and contact information for beneficiaries to use to initiate contact. You can also collect scopes of appointment and schedule future marketing appointments. As for the location, you can hold educational events in a public venue. Due to a change in the 2020 Medicare Communications and Marketing Guidelines memo, agents are now permitted to schedule and hold a sales event immediately following an educational event. Additionally, agents are allowed to improvise their delivery of the presentation and content they'd like to cover before accepting an application at a sales appointment. Only your talking points need to be submitted to CMS by the carriers, allowing you the freedom to conduct a more interactive and authentic sales presentation. What are you not allowed to do? CMS forbids the distribution of plan-specific materials or enrollment packets. You may not discuss any carrier-specific plans or benefits or distribute marketing plan materials. You can't, under any circumstance, hold an educational event in-home or in a one-on-one setting. At your event, you may not require attendees to sign in. Sign-in sheets must be optional. What about the rules for sales events? Unlike educational events, sales events are designed to steer or attempt to steer potential enrollees towards a limited set of plans. Be sure to follow the specific carrier's filing and reporting procedures prior to the event, and that also means following the specific carrier's cancellation procedures should you need to cancel your sales event. During the sales event, make sure to use only carrier-approved materials, and remember that you can collect applications on the spot. You can also call attendees from a sales event if they gave permission for a follow-up call, but you must have documented permission to contact. What actions are not allowed during sales events? Sign-in sheets must be optional, just like with educational events. CMS prohibits you from requiring attendees to sign in. The Medicare Communications and Marketing Guidelines forbid you from offering meals, making absolute statements, or using pressure to sign someone up at sales events. They also forbid you from cross-selling or promoting non-health-related products at sales events. Individual appointments fall under the same category as sales events, and the same CMS regulations apply. And don't forget, whether you're meeting face-to-face or discussing plans one-on-one over the phone, you must have a scope of appointment. How does CMS enforce their rules and regulations? Well, one way is by using secret shoppers. Let me preface this by repeating that staying compliant should be a year-long objective for every agent. The annual enrollment period just happens to be the culmination of revised CMS Medicare Communications and Marketing Guidelines, new plans, and all kinds of potential enrollees, some of which could be secret shoppers. CMS secret shoppers measure quality of service and compliance with Medicare regulations as a way to gather specific information about products and services. These secret shoppers will be looking to make sure you're compliant, from what you say to how you present it. And last but not least, if you've got a website, that must be compliant too. CMS requires any agent marketing MAPD or PDP plans to consumers to submit all website content to HPMS for approval. This is typically accomplished through the carriers you're contracted with, and you should refer to the specific carrier's policy regarding website review. CMS has increasingly cracked down on websites in recent years, so it's important to be sure your website is properly evaluated. If you're looking for a simple way to market a website with your own contact information, MediCareful is a great place to start. It's a free CMS-accepted website exclusively developed by Ritter with a quote engine, direct enroll buttons, electronic scope of appointment form, and also a robust CRM that powers a drug cost estimator and pre-filled applications through the Ritter platform. Oh, and did we mention that MediCareful is filed and accepted for use by CMS? We did all of that hard work so our agents don't have to. If you want to learn about getting your own free MediCareful site, we will have a link in our episode notes where you can find out all of the details, including how to sign up. So be sure to check that out. It's a pretty cool tool, and it's something that can really streamline your business process. But back to compliance, the matter at hand. As a certified agent, you are responsible for following CMS guidelines. Compliance does not have to be difficult, but it does require research and due diligence on your part. When in doubt, you can refer to Ritter for guidance, and as always, refer to our episode notes for the links we mentioned. That does it for this installment of the Agent Survival Guide podcast. If you like our show and if you enjoyed this episode, we would love to know. If you want to make sure you get the latest on compliance updates from CMS or the resources we publish, we recommend subscribing to our podcast. It's completely free to do that, and it's easy to do. You can subscribe or follow in the app you're listening on right now. So hit that subscribe button, make your love of the Agent Survival Guide podcast official. Thank you so much for listening and taking the time to support our show. It means so much to us. We certainly would not be here without you. So thank you again, and we will see you next episode.